Live from Oklahoma City, this is Two Guys Named Josh. Now let's welcome Josh Lee and Josh Ray.
Oklahoma City, welcome to Two Guys Named Josh, the podcast. My name is Josh Lee, and alongside me, as always, Josh Ray. What's up, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. Back to working full-time now, really considering alcoholism.
Yeah.
Now that I'm graduated, working 40 hours a week, going to bed every night at 11, getting up every day at 7.
Welcome to adulthood.
Coming to work today in like a suit, basically.
Yeah. And
man, this is...
You got a lot of 50 Shades of Grey going on right now. A lot of gray. Gray shirt, gray pants. You got a lot of gray. I don't know what you're trying to tell me.
Oh, no. At home, it's a lot of 50 Shades of Grey right
now.
Yeah,
leave your paddle at home, you sick bastard.
Hey, I had a tweet this weekend about Arkansas playing in the Stillwater Regional. How many relatives did you have at that regional
that
you know of?
That probably at least three.
Hey, they came out on top. Are you going to watch them in the Super Regional at all? Keep up if they make it to the College World Series?
Might as well. I'm not really a big college baseball guy. I mean, I barely watch professional baseball, but I mean, if they go far, yeah, I mean, obviously I'll keep an eye on it. You know, I was excited when they went to the Super Regionals, but it seems like they do that year in and year out. So, you know, I'll keep an eye on it.
They actually have the longest streak right now on making it in the NCAA tournament play. I believe it's 14, 15 straight. It's like them in Miami right in there for longest streak, but pretty impressive.
Consistently good at baseball, just not, you know, football or basketball or any of
this. And they're getting there, I think, on the football. I'm actually a pretty big
I'm not a Belima.
Well. How about your boy Hamilton making a little bit of noise this weekend in his comeback to Arlington?
Well, it's good. It's good. It's good for him. It's good for his psyche. It's good for the league. Obviously, him being, you know, a Ranger before he went to the Angels. And since he left, the Angels have been doing fine anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of like it's one of those divorces that's not ugly or, you know, there's no child custody battle, you know what I mean? It's just a straight break, you know, benefited both sides. I'm just pissed about the contract, but, you know, they were stupid enough to offer it to him. It's their fault.
Well, he had his first home series this past weekend against Boston, and Josh, he hits 455,
woo!
5 RBIs.
Woo!
He had 2 bombs in Friday night's matchup against the Red Sox.
Yeah.
And then hits a game-winning double last night to defeat them 4-3. The Rangers go 3-1 over that weekend. And I'm pulling for the guy. He's on my fantasy team.
Yeah.
Which you've won 2 in a row.
Yeah.
You're one game away from having a winning streak.
I know.
I mean, what if you really came back and made the playoffs after starting 0-6? I've never seen that done in fantasy baseball,
but
that would be pretty impressive.
I'm not here to say whether we will or won't make the fantasy baseball playoffs. I'm not saying anything. Because, honestly, I'm in shock at the moment anyway that I've won 2 in a row. So I'm kind of like...
You were the highest scorer this past week as well.
I know. Until Beltran got hurt.
You know, you look at the standings here. Today's June 1st.
Right.
Listen to this. And tell me if you ever would have believed, whenever we did our baseball preview shows, come June 1st... in the American League, the Yankees are on top of the AL East, which doesn't really... The AL East has just been bad.
Yeah.
I mean, the Red Sox are 22 and 29, and they're 4 games back.
You know how many points they average a game, Boston?
It's been bad lately.
2.1.
Yeah.
That's not good.
And me and Matt had long discussions about the Red Sox last week. But you look at the AL Central and the AL West, Josh, and it's Minnesota and the AL Central... Up half a game.
The Twins, man.
And the Astros in the AL West up 4.
Yeah.
I still think your Angels will probably end up winning that division, but that's just completely amazing.
Only, last time I checked, only 5.5 back of Houston. So, I mean, it's right there for the taking.
No, they're only 4.
Oh, they're only 4 now?
They're only 4 right now.
Did Houston lose yesterday?
They did lose yesterday.
That's what I thought.
They are 4-6 in their last 10 games. Angels are 6-4.
And then we won the series with the Tigers.
Y'all swept the Tigers.
Yeah.
4 straight.
Nice.
That's nice, man.
Well, Pujols, man. Albert Pujols.
He's been big.
Yeah. We were watching Saturday night, me and my buddy, we were watching the game before we decided to play some Madden. And Pujols came up to the bat, man, and he just rocked it.
Yeah.
And I mean, all the way back. You know how some home runs, they'll go back to the fourth or fifth row back? Mm-hmm. His went back to the freaking 15th row. I mean, that he shot that thing. That was nasty.
Well, in the last 7 days, it shows here he's batting .333, yeah. Three bombs, seven RBIs.
Yeah, he's turned back right the clock, him. Yeah, man. He's turning it back. And as long as Pujols plays like that, the Angels will win every game for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I'm saying, if he's playing like
not
that.
Not every game, but for them to make a deep playoff run,
mm-hmm.
they're going to have to have him hit like he is.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm looking at some.
Well, David Freese has to play better, too, on the other side of the ball. He's got to play better. And Cole Calhoun, he was hurt for a while. He's starting to get his struck back. Yeah. And Jared Weaver, he's pitching at a comfortable level. CJ Wilson's pitching better.
I almost dropped Weaver, too, at the beginning of the fantasy year. He started off slow, but he's been great the past four games.
Yeah.
Four or five games, yeah. He's been great.
How you feel about Strasburg getting hurt?
It's in the DL. I mean, really, neither one of us have benefited from that trade.
Nope.
It was just kind of one of those things where we both got rid of.
It was kind of like, let's just dump some salary. And let me ask you, moving forward, the NBA draft, do you give a damn, do you not give a damn? Honestly.
For just the Thunder?
Just the draft in general. We'll get to the Thunder, but just the draft in general.
I'm not really a huge draft guy.
Right.
To where, like, you know, a lot of those guys will do the draft day porn, all that type of stuff. For me, I get interested in the first 10 picks. You know, I like to keep up with the trades, but it won't be something where I just sit down and completely watch the entire thing.
See, here's my thing. Like, I remember back in the late 90s when the draft, these guys, Kevin Garnett, Kobe Bryant, Steve Nash, Dirk Nowitzki, these guys were supposed to perform right away.
Yeah.
Like, for these teams. Now, you know, you get drafted and maybe one or two guys like Andrew Wiggins, he's had to perform because he's on such a bad team.
Yeah.
But a lot of these guys that get drafted, they get stashed. And you don't hear from them for, you know, 2 or 3 years, and then all of a sudden they come out, and then you're like, who the hell's that guy? And you don't even remember. You know what I mean? These guys, and this year, now there's a lot more focus on it this year because there's so many players from Kentucky coming out. There's so many good players in this draft that could probably help some teams. And then Oklahoma City says, well, we're going to go ahead and just sign Cameron Payne and be done with it out of Murray State. How do you feel about that?
I told Michael we're doing a little bit of a deal for this blog, and I could really just not care. Not that care. It's just,
is he a good fit for the Thunder?
Well, he's not going to do anything this year. I don't think there's anybody in the draft. I think the Thunder had the roster set on who's going to play this year.
Right.
I don't think they can draft anybody this year that's going to really be able to come in and make it a huge impact for this team winning a championship.
One player.
Who's the one player you like?
Michael Qualls, University of Arkansas. Complete homer.
Yeah.
I know. I'm aware. But, dude, he's an energy guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing about Oklahoma City, is that team at the peak, man, they thrive off the energy. He's a defensive guy. Arkansas had great defensive numbers. Because of the full court press, they brought back the 40 minutes of hell, Nolan Richardson style offense. Oklahoma City needs a defensive guy, and they also need a guy who could get to the rim in the second unit. And that's Michael Qualls to a T. Guy is 6'6", 210 pounds, got a 7-foot wingspan, 4% body fat. I got more than that. My big freaking toe, Josh.
Yeah.
That is a guy who is projected to be a second round pick. If Oklahoma City were to gamble and Sam Presti to roll the dice and pick somebody like that, I guarantee you it would be beneficial to him.
You don't want to take him at the 14th pick, though. If you want to maybe try and get him in the second round, that's fine.
He'll be gone by then.
The guy's a projected second round pick.
I don't care.
I mean, people are going to care when they look at those numbers. Look,
what pick was Tom Brady? Even though it's a completely different sport, I don't care. That's still
different.
A good argument.
I mean, a lot of these people's that you're saying on the percentage and all that, there's a lot of players who have those same numbers.
I'm telling you,
Michael,
dude,
Qualls is not a guy who's going to come in and be the difference maker.
It's a mental thing, though.
Thunder.
It's a mental thing with him.
There's
that killer. It's dude, it's a killer instinct.
What?
It's that.
And what did Arkansas basketball really do this year?
Because of him, they got to the SEC tournament for the first time in 8 freaking years. Not the SEC. They got to the NCAA tournament for the first time in 8 years. But it's a mental.
He's going to come in and completely win, be able to turn the Thunder into a championship team?
I'm not saying that, but he'll be beneficial to the bench because the bench needs a defensive guy, which they don't have. The bench needs somebody who can get to the rim, which they don't have. The bench is lackluster, and they shoot freaking threes the whole time, aside from Deion Waiters calling Jordan on every shot and bricking them.
Yeah, see, I totally disagree with you. I thought the bench was one of the it was finally starting to show last season that they can score. Whenever this team was healthy and they had Kevin Durant in there, Russell Westbrook, and whenever you had Deion Waiters, DJ Augustine, and well, they never got to play with these guys, but whenever you had DJ Augustine, Deion Waiters, Anthony Morrow, that team was putting up points.
Well, then why go after another point guard?
Because
they don't need a point guard.
If that's going to be for the future, because DJ Augustine's not going to be on this team after next year.
Wasn't Josh Huestis a guard?
Yeah, he's a guard. Yeah, but still, they're going to need. He's not a point guard. It obviously shows they're just going to keep DJ Augustine for this 1 year, then move Cameron Payne in there. They got to get some insurance, and who knows if Russell Westbrook's going to stay?
Yeah, but is Cameron Payne the guy?
Probably not. But he's going to be a guy that's probably going to be. You know, you hear from a lot of people in the draft that he's the best pure point guard in the draft.
Yeah, not really great. I have heard that. I have heard him, that.
But I mean, look, this 14th pick, I really am just not interested in because it's not going to do anything impacting this season.
No, but it's they ought to do something that will impact the season. That's what I hate about Preston. He picks
whose spot are they going to take?
It doesn't matter. They have to pick somebody. You can't pick a guy like Reggie Jackson.
He turned out to be a max player.
Yeah, but where's he now?
Well, you can't re-sign everybody.
And what, Perry Jones? What's he done?
Okay, how about the James Harden pick? They were criticized for taking him third. Okay, Serge Ibaka, 25th pick.
Out of how many?
Reggie Jackson.
So out of 7 years,
they've had
two good picks.
Russell Westbrook
was picked when they were still in Seattle. That doesn't count.
Sam Presti was there.
I don't give a damn they weren't here.
You were so wrong on this. It's unbelievable. I mean, Russell Westbrook, they took him over Kevin Love. Russell Westbrook wasn't even projected to be a top five pick. Sam Presti fell in love with him.
Exactly.
That's a good pick.
If he's not projected to be a top five pick and he turns out to be one of the greatest players in the NBA, then you just prove my point about Michael Qualls.
Dude, Michael Qualls is not on the same level that Russell Westbrook
is. Dude, mentally, he's a killer. I'm telling you.
Yeah, because you're such a freaking homer.
That's not got
this
nothing
is,
to do with
this
it.
This is as bad as an argument as when you took Arkansas over Kentucky two straight games and we argued about it on the podcast for two straight podcasts. This is about as bad as an argument.
What was the over-under on those games?
Look, Preston's made such good picks that it's put him in troubles later on. Look at the Harden thing. Look at the Reggie Jackson. He's made such good picks at some point. Now, there were some bad picks, but a lot of people are going to make bad picks at times. People are going to pan out.
Right. I'm not.
But
he's made such good picks. You're talking to a guy who had Kwame Brown on his team. Nothing more
Steven
can be
Adams
said.
Steven Adams wasn't a good pick.
That remains to be seen.
Mitch McGarry. I mean,
remains to be seen. Mitch McGarry didn't play a lot.
But
he didn't play a lot. He was hurt.
Okay, but whenever Collison's gone, I mean, they're hoping that the guy can step in and make plays.
And maybe he can, but what if he can't?
Well, telling me that a second-round pick, projected second-round pick from guys that...
Dude, I'm telling you. I've watched the kid play.
And I've watched the kid play, too, and there's a lot better talent out there than Michael Qualls.
But it's more than just analytics. It's more than just stats and numbers. It's that...
You know what? If Buddy Hield would have just came out of the draft, but they would have just... That puts him in a championship level. Buddy Hield.
Buddy Hield?
Well, I'm saying that now because obviously I like OU basketball, so I'm really...
Okay, I didn't say that if Michael Qualls goes to the Thunder, they're a championship team. I did not say that. I said he could help the bench. That is what I said.
To go to a championship level. I don't think anybody...
Well,
draft...
Oklahoma City, they're going to be a favorite to win the title next season regardless.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they could go out there and have Jeremy Lamb come off the bench and play more than 5 minutes a game, and they'll still be a favorite.
I don't think there's going to be really a draft pick this year. It's going to be someone that they're going to want to develop. They're not going to want to bring somebody in.
No.
It's just not how it's going to be.
So moving on from that great topic of me being a homer, woo pig suey, by the way, we'll go to the NBA Finals. Cleveland, Golden State. Has there been a more exciting NBA Finals in the last 3 years?
Yeah, I was really excited for last year's NBA Finals. And really, 2 years ago, that San Antonio-Miami series, I've always been pretty excited for those two series.
Mm-hmm.
As excited as I am for this series to get going, it does suck that Kevin Love's going to be out. So yeah, we are still going to miss some pieces of Cleveland due to injuries. And that's kind of been...
Now, do you think if Cleveland does get beat, that they'll use that? Like, as well, if Kevin Love played, we'd have won.
Well, I think they're better with Tristan Thompson, to be honest.
Clearly, that guy's been beast mode.
I mean, you can always use a Kevin Love.
Right.
I mean, that would have been a great access.
But they underutilized Kevin Love from the start of the season anyway.
He
hasn't produced.
He hasn't been a good fit. I don't really think he's been one of those guys to really, I don't know if he's so much of a team player.
No.
Okay, because he's had some, you even go back to Minnesota, you hear about some people talk about him that he wasn't the greatest team player. And you would think if Kevin Love was so great on a Minnesota team that was okay
horrible
at times, but they had the people to make playoffs run, and they never did.
Well, in the West was too stacked.
That you could say that, but in 7 or 8 years, you can't tell me that Kevin Love, who's a projected max player, can't take a team like what they had on that roster to the playoffs at least once. Or being in the running for that.
If he was there now with Wiggins, and if Rubio could stay healthy, maybe they could go to the playoffs.
They had a good roster a couple years ago with Pekovic.
Yeah, Pekovic is still playing for him.
Rubio could have stayed healthy. Yes, they've had some rosters to where it was like, okay, this is going to be the year Minnesota has to make it at least the 8th seed, and they never have.
No,
I'm not really questioning. I know Kevin Love's a talented guy,
right?
But it just seems like Tristan Thompson's a better fit for Cleveland with a guy who can get offensive rebounds, which Kevin Love can too. But Tristan Thompson does those hustle plays.
He plays with his back to the basket.
Yeah.
He plays on the block. Are you watching him, Serge Ibaka?
Mm.
That is the only question I have.
The only thing, Tristan Thompson can't score worth a crap.
That doesn't matter. If you're doing all the right things in the block, rebounding, taking charges and stuff like that, and you got J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert, and LeBron James on your team, you don't have to worry about scoring points because you got three guys that can score the ball willingly.
Well, he definitely doesn't play the defense quite like Serge Ibaka does, but he can
get
out there.
No, Serge Ibaka is a bigger boy than Tristan Thompson.
I'm pretty excited for this finals. I'm ready to see LeBron James against Steph Curry because I think he will guard Curry at one point. I'm excited to see Klay Thompson there. I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic. And you know what? I think LeBron guarding Curry is going to be, if there's one guy who I think can give Curry fits,
it will be LeBron.
I think it's going to be LeBron James.
Absolutely.
I think that at one point in the fourth quarter,
Dellavedova, he's been kind of a pest through the playoffs too.
Yes,
so.
And I love it. I love how hard he plays. I love every bit of
the thing about Curry, man, is his shot is quick.
Oh yeah,
that's what's beautiful about him.
Yeah,
his shot is quicker than Ray Allen.
He's probably one of the greatest purest shooters that I've got the privilege to watch. Now, I can remember Ray Allen, you know, mid-2000s, how great he was, even his first couple years with Boston. But
if you look at the timeline of all time great shooters, obviously there's Larry Bird, Chuck Person, who used to play at Indiana.
Larry Bird's kind of like, would you say more? He's a scorer.
He
more
is,
than a shooter,
but he can shoot the three.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah.
I guess when I think of just like a shooter, I think more of like the Reggie Millers, Ray Allen.
Right, right.
You know?
Reggie Miller, and Steph Curry, he reminds me a lot of Reggie Miller in certain ways.
They kind of have the same body type.
They have the same body type. I think Reggie was a little bit taller. And
I would say tougher, too.
Tougher, mentally tougher. Reggie Miller, he would frustrate the hell out of people. That was his job. But he was physical.
Yeah.
He would throw elbows and stuff like that. Curry never did any of that. So
I'm ready for it. I think it's going to be really fun. I'm ready to see a little bit of Draymond Green against LeBron because, you know, he's going to be going up against LeBron. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be high scoring. But, man, it's going to be all about, you know, which team can either slow down Curry, which team can slow down LeBron.
Well, do you consider
and Kyrie's got to be healthy too.
Yeah, absolutely. If Kyrie's not playing, it's a no contest. If Klay Thompson's not playing, it's a no contest. Yeah. I think that this might be a coaching battle. And the reason I say that is because Steve Kerr made adjustments during the Houston series, during the Memphis series. Memphis was a very physical team. And the Warriors were not known for being a physical defensive team. They're more known for pick and roll offense and finesse and, you know, Curry taking the long three ball, all that type of stuff. But if they could beat a team like Memphis and they can beat a team like Houston, they can beat Cleveland. But it's going to come down to, can Steve Kerr outcoach LeBron? Because I don't think David Blatt's the coach.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see the coaching matchup. Steve Kerr has been absolutely fantastic. Both guys making their first finals appearance as head coaches in the first season coaching in the NBA.
That's the first time it's happened since the first year of the NBA.
So it's going to be really exciting to get to see these two go up against each other. On the coaching edge, I'm going to have to give it to Kerr.
Yeah.
But at the same time, David Blatt has the best player in the world.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of it.
Not all the time do you have to be great at that.
Well, and LeBron, say what you will about him as a person, say what you will about him as the way things have went for him as an NBA player, you cannot deny the man can ball.
Oh, he's, in my mind, the second greatest player I've ever watched.
Yeah. I mean, when he decides that he's going to take over a game, he's taking it over.
I don't think he's always, I mean, those Miami teams were great other than that first year and that his final year, they were okay. But, I mean, LeBron James, to me, I think gets treated very unfairly when it comes to titles. And he's taken a Cleveland team, that original Cleveland team that he took to the finals was just garbage.
Mo Williams, he single-handedly
took them to the finals.
Antoine Jameson. Yikes.
I don't know.
He played on the Lakers and was horrible.
If he wins this finals, what this does to his legacy is just going to take it to a whole different level.
It will.
Three finals. This one that he had to do it without Kevin Love, without Kyrie Irving at time. And
if Cleveland wins the NBA finals and they become the NBA champions, it will catapult him into that Michael Jordan debate, which I know it's been going on for the last couple of weeks, but it's to me, it's too soon for you to be put in that same category as Michael Jordan.
He's only 30.
It's not even about that. You've won twice. You've got two championships. Michael Jordan had six. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, despite the fact that LeBron as a player is probably more of a complete package than Michael will ever be.
Oh, yeah.
You can't take away from what Michael did to the game.
Oh, heck no.
And I think too many people are doing that nowadays, and it's really, really sad. When you turn on the TV and you see on Fox Sports 1 Crazy Bone from F and Bone Thugs and Harmony saying that LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan, it makes you want to throw up.
Yeah.
Because people are so quick to forget what Michael did to the game. Without Michael, there is no LeBron. There is no Kobe. There is no Allen Iverson. There's none of that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good debate. I mean, you can talk about, I think, who's more talented. But LeBron's book is still being...
Oh, yeah. Right. No, I mean, absolutely.
It's still going.
Maybe in like 3 years when he's won a couple more rings, then you could put him in that context. But and let me say this also, that he is a complete player. Passing, defense, three-point shot.
He's more Magic Johnson.
Yeah, he is a complete player. Not that Michael Jordan wasn't a complete player, but Michael Jordan didn't have the defensive tenacity that LeBron did.
See, I disagree there. I think Michael Jordan, in my opinion, is probably the one of the best two-guard defensive players when it came down to who was going to play tough defense.
Michael Jordan played tough defense. I'm not saying he didn't. But LeBron, I mean, he's so freaking huge.
I think you're talking more about just his freakishly.
Yeah, his athleticism.
Yeah. I mean, and that would be probably one of the one things that MJ would have trouble with.
Right.
Is going up against LeBron's size.
Right. No, it would have been no contest. But Michael Jordan would have shook the hell out of LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Repetitively, he would have made him look foolish.
It was different.
Yeah, it was. But different time, different game.
If at this point...
That's another thing, too. You can't compare basketball now to basketball in the 1990s, because the game was slower and it was a completely different style of offense. The triangle offense worked in the 90s. Doesn't work now.
We can talk about, you know, some other day, but right now for my Mount Rushmore, for my time, and not so much from what I've watched, I mean, it's Kobe, LeBron, and MJ.
Right.
And that's probably mine for right now. And we can do it in some
other
podcast.
You got one more.
Well, I know, but there's just nobody else that I really would want to put in with those.
Allen Iverson?
Not from what I've watched. Mm-mm.
Man, Allen Iverson was cold-blooded back in the day.
He was great,
man.
But God. There's still a point where championships.
You're right. But Allen Iverson came around at a time where it was the and one stuff starting up, and everybody was all crossing everybody up and doing all that fancy crap, you know.
And that man,
that's when I fell in love with Allen Iverson.
No, I like Allen Iverson a lot, but I just don't think he's a Kobe Bryant.
He's kind of
LeBron
joke
James,
now, but, you know.
And
Kobe Bryant, man, he's a cold blooded killer.
Probably, you know, if I had to add another guy to my Mount Rushmore in the past like 15, 20 years, I mean, you could even say maybe Shaq's that fourth guy.
Yeah. No, I mean, definitely.
As dominant as he was.
He was one of the league's most dominant big men to ever play the game.
Those first three Laker championships, that offense went through the big man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Despite what, you know, everybody thinks and Kobe says.
Kobe's great. I'm not taking anything away. No, you can't.
But I mean,
it was just a great
Kobe. Kobe's crazy if he thinks he didn't win those three championships with Shaq not playing for the Lakers. You know what I'm saying?
Shaq was almost averaging 40-20 that series.
Well, we could have won without Shaq. Hell, you could have.
No.
All right. So, how do you see this one playing out? How do you see this NBA Finals playing out?
Unfortunately, I'm taking Golden State in six. I think it's going to be a very competitive series.
You think they win in Cleveland game six?
I do.
Really?
I think they're able to win game six in Cleveland, but I think it's going to be a very good series, and I will be rooting for LeBron in Cleveland to take it home.
God, man, if LeBron loses this series, man, he's going to cry.
I don't think he was even really expecting to be there. I think this is almost just kind of a shock to everybody.
According to his interview, but if he loses this series, man, people are going to rip him a new one. The internet's going to go crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of disagree a little bit with that just because.
Dude, they made fun of him when he fell on the floor after he won game, what was it, three against Atlanta.
Yeah, and that's just.
Somebody put a picture of Lance Stephenson blowing behind him into his butt. it was funny.
If people would just sit back and realize the greatness, what he did this year. With the amount of shakeup that was with Cleveland, the turnaround that they had with players, I mean, it just...
They inherited a championship team.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really did. But I'm with you.
You know where I'm
going. Not six, though. I think Golden State in seven. I think this one goes to distance.
I hope it's not seven because I leave to go out of town that day, so I'll be driving all day and won't get to watch the game.
I got some breaking news.
What?
No, I don't. I'm just lying.
I'm good.
No, I do. I think Golden State in seven, I think it's going to be a long series. I think it goes back and forth. But at the end of the day, Golden State's just got too many weapons, too much offensive skill.
Yeah.
Cleveland can't defend them. But.
It's going to be fun. I can't wait.
Yeah, me neither. It's going to be a great one. Next time on Two Guys Named Josh, the podcast, dive deeper into the NBA Finals. Also, get ready for some more baseball talk. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun! And we look at the upcoming NFL season, college football. Whatever you guys want to talk about, hit us up on Twitter at Two Guys Josh. My name is Josh Lee, and for Josh Ray, next time. You notice I didn't like go off the deep end too much.
You nearly did.
I kept it professional. That's going on at the end of the show.